Bibles. All right, we got to get rolling here. If you have your Bible, Song of Solomon chapter 1, if you just go there really quickly, Song of Solomon chapter number 1. Jonathan, you did a wonderful job. I'm excited about tomorrow. Brother Dan Jr. will be preaching. And what a privilege to work with your sons. Not a greater joy in all the world to work with your sons most of the time. I said most of the time, okay? And I'm picking on them a little bit, but it's been just a wonderful journey. Brother Dan Jr. worked with me for 17 years. And Jonathan going on almost 13 years. What a privilege. My dad was an alcoholic. Nobody in my family went to church. I never heard the word saved or born again until I was nearly 16 years old. And one Sunday morning, the preacher had my family the stand of all of those that had gotten saved. There was over 20 of us that stood that Sunday morning that had gotten saved. Brother Carr Hatch, some of you have heard that name, led my dad to Christ. And so the Lord has been good to our family. And so we're very humbled to be here. I want to say thank you to House Anderson College for allowing me to come. Appreciate the staff here that sacrifices, that invest in the young people here and the students here. And thank you for the sacrifices that you make. And we, as a pastor, I really appreciate what you do, investing your time. You could have probably did many other things with your life, but thank you that you surrendered your life to be at a Bible college to help train young people. And I do. I really sincerely wished I could have went to a Bible college. It didn't work out that way for me. And I believe you're at the right place. And so I hope that you'll learn and take advantage of it. Song of Solomon. Chapter 1, if you're able, why don't we stand again, if you don't mind. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. It's good to have my grandchildren here as well. And we do have 22 grandchildren. And so we're excited. 11 children. Lord, it's been good to us. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Look at verse 6. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the what? Of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 if you'll just kind of tuck that verse in the back of your heart. That made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. I'm not really interested in trying to, you know, when you preach as long as I have, you somewhere you kind of, you hope you cross the bridge where you're not really interested in trying to impress people with a great sermon. But I do come with a burdened heart because I have been in the ministry for quite a few years that I've seen a lot of my preacher friends get out of the ministry. Down through the years, I've seen a lot of young people that I've sent to Bible college that are not serving God. Some of them divorced. Some of them, their life is just a total wreck, total mess. Instead, in a good Bible college, some of them even here at this Bible college. And so I come not worried about preaching a great sermon, but with a burdened heart that I hope. Because you hear a lot of preaching. You hear a lot of good preaching. And so I hope that just for these next few minutes that you would on purpose listen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I love the phrase he uses with boxing. I used to box when I was a kid, and my dream was to go to the Olympics. I did not go. Kelsey Banks did, and I sparred and boxed with Kelsey Banks. And when I got saved, I quit boxing. because I got more interested in something else. Can I get a witness there? And look at verse number 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means. Now watch this. This is probably, without a doubt, one of the greatest preachers who ever lived. One of the greatest missionaries who ever lived. Without a doubt, Paul the Apostle, look what he says. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So if I understand the text correctly here in verse number 27, that Paul was concerned about himself, that as he ministered to others and as he would help others with their vineyard, that he would neglect his own vineyard. That as he would try to help others with their mess, that his own life would become a mess. Did you see that? Look at it again. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, at least not by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. That word castaway means to be rejected. It means to be worthless, useless, of no value. It means to be disapproved, to be disqualified. And so Paul is worried about himself. He's worried about himself. When I have preached to others, that I myself become of no value, that I myself become disqualified, that I myself wind up in a mess. So for a few moments, I want to preach on the subject, how to keep your life from becoming a mess when you help others with their mess. Because really, that's what you do in the ministry. You're trying to help others. When you work a bus route, and many of you go in areas that you can see that a lot of young people and a lot of lives, they're in a mess. Can I get a witness there? And so now you're trying to invest to help them with their mess, but if you're not careful, you'll wind up in a mess. And so I hope just in the next few moments that on purpose you would listen. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. And God, I pray you'd help us. Lord, there's no rocks in my pocket. I'm not pointing a finger in no direction. Because he that think he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. So, Father, it could be me. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us. I pray in these next few minutes you'd meet with us. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I appreciate your patience. Let me just say quickly in way of introduction, just because you're trying to help others doesn't mean that you're going to be exempt from certain things. You're not going to be exempt from the attack of the devil. Jesus told Peter that Satan had desired that he may sift him as wheat. You're not exempt from the devil attacking you. You're not exempt from the weakness of the flesh. You may be in a good Bible college. You might have grew up in a good home. But here's what I do know. You still have the same old flesh. And you have to die to it daily. The temptations of sin and the troubles of life will come to all of us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says. And a man that is born of woman is a few days in full of trouble. So you're not going to be exempt from troubles. You're not going to be exempt from the temptation of sin. You're not going to be exempt from the weakness of the flesh. You're not going to be exempt from the attack of the devil. All of these things are going to come to all of us. And so let me give you some things that I hope that will help you, not just today, but 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, or 30 years from now, the Lord should tarry his coming, that you will still be in the ministry and you will still be serving God with all of your heart. Let me give you some things you're going to need to keep your life from becoming a mess while you help others with their mess. Number one, you're going to make sure that you marry the right person. Now, I could spend an hour, 2 hours just on this thought. But a young man, if you surrender to the ministry and you're going to serve God and God has called you to preach and maybe God has called you to be a missionary, you want to marry a young lady who has a heart for God. You want to marry a young lady who will follow you and who, no matter where God calls you, that she is surrendered as well to the Lord and she wants to serve God. It's very important. Are you with me? A lot of young preachers, a lot of missionaries, I see them coming off the field. Why? Because a lot of times they married a young lady who really doesn't have a heart for God. And can I say to the young ladies, I don't want to be ugly to you. I really don't. I don't want to be cruel to you. But if you don't really have a heart to really serve God and to follow God, and if you're here at a Bible college, don't marry a preacher. Marry a plumber, electrician, a painter, something else, but don't marry a preacher, and then God has called him, and God calls him to the mission field, and you get there, and you begin to whine, and you begin to complain, and you begin to gripe, and you begin to do all of that, and then he comes home from the mission field, or he winds up to resign the church to make a lot of money to satisfy you. I love you this morning. Just marry somebody else. Because I am telling you, if I didn't have the wife that I have right now who was willing to sacrifice, I was 50 years old when I bought my first new car. For 25 years, I drove vehicles that was worth about $700 or $800. Why? To sacrifice for the ministry. Not to be a burden. I'm glad that God gave me a wife that was willing to sacrifice with me. And she didn't look around and say, I don't have this and I don't have that and I can't go here and I can't go there. I'm glad that I had a wife that God gave me that was willing to sacrifice with me. Can I get some help there? Young man, if you marry a young lady that's not surrendered to God and wants to follow God, you're going to regret the day. This message will come to you one day. You're going to regret the day. My friend, you want to find a young lady that is surrendered and sold out to God. Can I get some help? The ministry is a lot of hours. The ministry is a lot of work. And man, when you come home, you don't want to be fighting and fussing with the wife. Can I get some help there? I could not tell you of the preachers that I preached with and the preachers that I prayed with and the young men that I've sent to Bible college who are out of the ministry and their life is a wreck because they was worried about a pretty face and not about a young lady who had a heart for God. Now, I say number two quickly, you must deal with the sin that is in your life. Now, I noticed that our song leader said a while ago, he's going to let the ladies sing a part. He said, now, I just want the ladies to sing this part. And some of you young men joined in. I'm just kidding, okay? I was just messing with you. But if you are a young man, you are a man. And if you are a young lady, you are a lady. But you know, the truth is, we probably don't have any transgender bathrooms on the campus at House Anderson College. Probably don't have any homosexuals in the room. We might, but we probably don't. Probably don't have anybody in here that has an alcohol problem or drug problem or pornography problem. Probably got some young men looking at that. But I'm just simply saying to you, those are probably not your sins. How about the sin of discouragement? You know, a lot of young men, a lot of preachers have gotten out of the ministry not because of pornography, not because of an affair, not because of alcohol, though I know a good young preacher that had to give up his church. He went to 7 different rehabs for alcohol. I'm talking about a preacher. But that is probably not going to be your sin. How about Elijah, who was a great man of God, who said, Lord, this is enough. Take away my life. How many young people wind up quitting Bible college because they get discouraged? Hey, it doesn't bother me that if you get discouraged. It doesn't bother me if a preacher will get discouraged. We all may have those moments, but you cannot live there. Somebody says, Brother Carr, do you ever get discouraged? Are you serious? Absolutely, but I don't live there. How about unbelief? The children of Israel didn't go into Egypt not because of adultery, not because of drugs, not because of pornography. They did not go into the promised land because of unbelief. We need some young men and some young ladies that still believe God. Did you know God can still work today? Do you know we can still build churches today? Do you know people still can be reached? God, give us some young people who will believe God. Probably what will get you, it won't be a transgender. It ain't going to be pornography. Maybe unbelief. How about dishonesty? Let us be careful to tell the truth. How about our pride? Satan did not get kicked out of heaven because of pornography or because he got drunk in heaven. Satan got kicked out because of his pride. You know, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. How about gossip? Say, Brother Card, you know what's going on Facebook and what's trending? I would not know how to get on Facebook. I'm not interested in learning this morning. And I'm not against it, but I'm just simply saying, I'm not worried about the latest gossip at the church down the street or across the country. Listen to me. We got more gossip goes around than you can shake a stick at. Oh, you're not going to get drunk. You're not going to look at pornography. You're just going to participate in the latest gossip. Boy, it's getting quiet. See, we got to deal with our sins and our lives. Number three, now this is deep. Now say with me, you must have a daily walk with God. Go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter number 10. You must have a daily walk with God. I said a daily walk with God. I had a preacher come. A missionary was preaching at my church. I'd only been pastoring a little over a year. And he came and he was preaching. I was sitting on the front pew. And he said, Brother Carr, could you believe there are men in the ministry who have never read their Bible all the way through? And I thought, well, man, how could a man be a preacher and never read his Bible all the way through? And the Holy Spirit moved up there beside me, put his arm around me and said, how about you? Have you ever read your Bible all the way through? And it dawned on me. Here I am pastoring a church, and I never even read my Bible all the way through. And I got out of the pew, went to the altar, and said, God, I'm sorry. Here I am pastoring. I'm a preacher. And I've never even read my Bible all the way through. And I said to myself, that ain't going to happen again. I'm going to have him come back next year, and I hope he does that again. That was nearly 40 years ago, 37 years ago. But I can tell you with eyeball to eyeball, ain't been a day since then that I've not read my Bible. I don't mean 5 days out of seven. I mean 7 out of 7 on Sunday morning. I decided that I'm gonna live in this book. I mean, it's just strange to me to be at a Bible college and not to be in love with the book. And I'm talking about the King James Bible. I need to say that. Come on. Look in Luke chapter number 10. The word of God will renew your strength. And that the word of God, as you get more of God's word in, the flesh will go down and the spirit will go up. Lester Roloff said, a man is no more filled with the spirit of God than he is the word of God. Do not go to the Bible just to find a sermon or a phrase and say, boy, that will preach. And, you know, we can all find the phrases, and that's good. I love that. I'm for that. But listen, you don't just go to the Bible to find a sermon. You go to the Bible for God to speak to you. I want God to speak to me. That's how you're renewed day by day. That is how you get close to God. You say, preacher, I want to get close to God. It is impossible to get close to God and neglect the Word of God, because the Word was made flesh. And the Word was God. Can I get some help there? Look in Luke chapter number 10 quickly. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 38. You know the story. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Listen to me, there was something missing in Martha's life as she went about serving and going and busy, and you're at school and you're busy and you're going and coming, but you got to get in that book. Not to pass a test, but for God to speak to you. You got to have that walk with God every day. Number five or number four, let your focus be on Christ. Let your focus be on Christ. Look at the book of Galatians chapter number one. I said, let your focus be on Christ. I love big crowds. I love, you know, breaking attendance. I love all of that. But our focus must be on Christ. Don't put your focus on the pastor. Put your focus on Christ. Look in Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter 1 and look at verse 10. For I do, I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be what? The servant of Christ. That's Paul the apostle. The book of Colossians chapter 3. And he said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. We was looking for a principal for our school. I brought a man in. Just make this story quick. His wife taught piano. She was going to play for us that Sunday morning when he came to our church and said, why don't you lead the choir? Won't you let your wife play the piano? And so they agreed to do that. And my sister's been playing the piano in our church for 30-something years. And so I approached her and I said, look, for this particular Sunday, I would like for this gentleman, his wife is going to play the piano. He's going to lead our choir. And we're just looking at him for maybe to be a principal and do some other things to help us. And so they agreed to do that. And my sister said that was not a problem. So that Sunday morning, we had the service. He led the choir. It came to the offertory. This lady that had taught piano for many years, she played the offertory, and when she played it, man, you just never seen anybody play a piano like that in your life. She was up and down the keys, and when she got done, everybody in the building started clapping. My sister's been playing the piano for nearly 30 years. That never happened one time. When that happened, my heart sunk. I said, here's my sister, man, that's been faithful and playing, and nobody's never done that for her. The next day, Monday morning, I called my sister. She's the oldest. I'm the youngest. There's seven between us. She's been with me for 30-something years, and I called her. You'd have to know her. But she started off the conversation like this. Hello? Yeah, I know what you want. You'd have to know my sister. I know what happened yesterday. I said, well, I was just calling to see you okay. Now, Dan, let me tell you something right now. You'd have to know my sister. She said, I know what happened yesterday. She said, I heard them all clapping for the lady that played the piano. She did a good job. She said, but I want you to understand something. She said, I don't play the piano for them. I don't play the piano for you. I play the piano for Jesus Christ. See you Wednesday. Bye. She didn't suck her thumb. She didn't call it quits. Nobody clapped for me, so I'm done. You know why she didn't throw the towel in? Because she wasn't playing for all those people. She was playing for Jesus Christ. But when I preach, nobody said amen. I preach that ain't read the Bible. Well, really, who cares? You're not preaching for them really necessary anyway. You're preaching for Jesus. Are y'all okay with that? Stay in church. I said, stay in church. You said, is that a point? Stay in church. You know how many young people I've seen to go to Bible college, not in church today? You ought to make a, if you don't get anything out of this sermon, you ought to make a commitment to God right now. You're going to stay in church all the days of your life. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I'm going to stay in church my whole life. My brother-in-law was with me for 38 years. I led him to Christ, and he became my soul leader for 38 years. And my friend, last Tuesday, I preached his funeral. His wife, who's my sister, has 4-stage lung cancer. They've been with me nearly the whole time. Let me tell you something about my brother-in-law. He finished right. He had many opportunities to quit, but he stayed in church his whole life. He never got out. Can I get a witness? And then lastly, you must learn to give your burdens and others their burdens to the Lord. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Numbers, chapter 11. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Numbers, chapter 11. The book of Numbers, chapter 11. Verse 14, I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. That was Moses. I was preaching in Fairbanks, Alaska, by the Duffett Bible Baptist Church. Got in there about 11 o'clock at night, met me at the airport. Been flying all day, wore out, tired. Coming down the escalator to get our baggage. He's there. Brother Carr, welcome to Alaska. I'm like, where's the bed? Get our luggage. My wife and I go to the hotel, go up into our room, and have little goodies for us and little notes. And on his letterhead said, serving under his easy yoke. You know the verse, my burden is light. It's easy. And I read that. I was there to preach to them. But in that hotel room, when I read that letterhead, God spoke to my heart. And I said, Lord, the ministry is so light. Why does all this feel so heavy? Why does it feel so heavy? And the Lord said, son, you got to give it to me. Casting all your care upon him. Prayer care for you. Let me tell you, in this room, there's some young people whose mom and dad are not in church or not saved. You got burdens and you got heartaches. And I wish I could encourage you, and I want to, but I'm going to say the burdens are going to be a part of life, and they're going to come and they're going to go. Man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But let me say, you got to learn. You've got to learn to give your burdens to the Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I didn't preach the message this morning necessarily just for today. I preached it that you might stay in it your whole life. Listen, I preach to others. When I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway. I have prayed with, preached with some of the greatest preachers in the country. I don't gossip about them. I do not talk about them because I realize it could be me. Young man, find a young lady who has a heart for God. Young ladies, I'm not being mean to you, but don't marry a preacher if you're not willing to be surrendered and sold out. Don't pull him out of the ministry. Don't make it hard on him. You're there to be his helpmeet. Young man, if you got a hidden sin in your life, maybe you are looking at pornography. Get some help. Maybe it's discouragement. Maybe it's unbelief. Maybe it's gossip. You got to have a walk with God. If you're going to stay at it for many years, you got to learn to walk with God. You got to learn to give your burdens to the Lord. Some of you young people in this room, you got some burdens, heartaches. We love you. But you got to give them to the Lord.